Greetings, everyone. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. Today is August 23rd, 2013, and this is a talk show hosted by the one and only Mr. Brandon Weatherby. Tonight's guests include Heyward Turnipseed Jr., Adam Freeland, Jen Tisdale, and Natalie Shore. Tonight's house band is Nathan Is Number One, featuring Ian Graham from Lenoreville. And I am your guest announcer, Mr. Not Jamal Johnson.
Give it up for Not Jamal Johnson, everybody. That was beautiful. Thank you, Not Jamal Johnson. That wasn't picked up on the microphone. It's a callback because I'm racist. We'll get to that later. I would like to point out that, yes, the house band is made up of two people. It's Nathan Is Number One, fucking laughing, and Ian Graham from Lenoreville. But there might be known better in the internet world as Cuba Stank. So everybody give it up for Cuba Stank. Here we go. This is a talk show. This is a talk show that's been going on a very, very long time. And this is Nathan's last talk show with us. So this is a very big deal to me. Nathan is a dear friend of mine. He's such a dear friend that I asked him to be a groomsman at my wedding, guys. He was a groomsman. No, he couldn't make my wedding. But I asked him to be in the wedding. And tonight, 2.5 months after I got married, I gave him his groomsman gift. So I gave him his gift. I gave him some cufflinks with the wrong initials on them. That's what I gave him. It's backwards. I gave him backwards initials. But Nathan means a lot to me. I'm going to miss Nathan. Nathan and I met thanks to this show. He plays drums with this wonderful man named Aaron Thompson. Now, Aaron Thompson plays sad music, and it's very good. And Nathan plays drums for him. And I was missing my normal house band at the time. It was this wonderful man named Ian Walters. Now, Ian Walters, I highly recommend that you go see him. He's a jazz and blues pianist, whatever. Nathan is a drummer. That's it. He's a great drummer. So the first time he played as the house band of this talk show was at the Looking Glass Lounge, which is a room that's much, much smaller than this room, and Nathan brought his entire kit. Now, the entire kit consisted of at least like two toms, a snare drum, a full set of cymbals, and it was a lot of fun. We opened with Nathan playing I Am One by the Smashing Pumpkins. The whole song, just on drums. It was an amazing experience. And we had a heckler, if you remember this, Nathan, I'm not sure if you do. We had a heckler who was there from Ireland who wanted to let us know how about everything we were doing ever was wrong. So whenever he would heckle us, I would have Nathan play drum solos. And it was one of the best shows that we've ever produced, and it's almost unlistenable. Nathan is very, very famous on the internet. One of the things Nathan likes to do on the internet is call out other white men. We're both white men. To call out other white men on bullshit. Nathan did that. Nathan did that this week. A former guest of the show, this great man named Denman. Denman is in his mid-30s, and he looks like Skrillex, and he's a DJ. It's not okay for me to say this, but I've said all of these things to his face, so it's completely, he knows where I stand. I think he's a great guy, and he's also straight edge and doesn't eat meat. So when he was on the show, I had a burger and just did shots in front of him and talked about how great both of those things were and how he was missing out on life. Anyways, earlier this week, Denman put on Facebook about how this model on the cover of Shape magazine, I think it was just too thin. And women need to eat a sandwich. And then Nathan aptly pointed out, hey, man, I know where you're going with this. It's still kind of sexist. And then, what, like every 35-year-old that looks like Skrillex does, he posted about an 8,000-word retort on Facebook about how Nathan was right, but still, like, come on, guys. And it was great. That was the internet this week. The other part of the internet this week was people are upset at Ben Affleck for existing. Now, hear me out here. Ben Affleck will play the new Batman. And people are angry. And I don't know why. There's been 5 Batmans on the television and over the silver screen. in the past 50 years. We'll go backwards. The last Batman was a murderer drug addict from Philadelphia, and everyone loved him. It was totally fine that he was Batman. The guy before that, he was too handsome to be Batman, and no one liked that Batman. The guy before that, it was the ghost of Jim Morrison. No one liked that Batman. And guess what? The ghost of Jim Morrison wasn't a bad Batman, guys. Just get over it. He had a bad script to work with. By the way, Batman doesn't write the scripts, guys. It's not him. The guy before that, he's just an alcoholic dad that likes to multiply himself. Is that a responsible thing for Bruce Wayne to do? No, it's not. The guy before him is the mayor of Quahog, and he hung out with a boy a lot and wore a costume, and it wasn't like, I'm going to fight crime. No, he took off suits, what men should wear, Denman, I'm talking to you here. He took off suits to put on spandex and hang out with a boy, and he had three Catwomen. There's no consistency in his Catwoman, yet one man can't replace a chin. That's all. You guys realize there's stuntmen that do all the tricks and stuff, right? It's just all you see is a chin, and they even change the voice. Why do you care? The royal you being the internet. Why do you care about this internet? Now, the only person that could possibly explain all this is Nathan. Nathan is the only guy that could possibly explain all this because literally... could I tell people your new job or no? He's uncomfortable. Nathan, could I tell people what you're studying? Nathan is a sociologist. I said that in a weird Chicago accent. We're both from Chicago, trust me, guys. We'll get to that later. We're a sociologist that essentially studies the internet. So whenever bullshit like this happens, I genuinely get excited to see what Nathan's going to write on Facebook. And then... message me about 9/11 later. So, guys, we have a fantastic show tonight. It's sort of a Nathan remembrance show. It's sort of a band reunion. Now, the band that we have tonight is not Bill. The band that we have tonight is going to close the show. They're going to close the show. Now, the band we've had tonight played this stage, I think, once only, and we took them on the road, and we also played a show in Philadelphia. We played this show in Philadelphia. Not a joke. We changed Philadelphia's sound. There are bands that are trying to imitate the sound of this particular band 7 months later. It's an important band. I'm so excited that you guys are going to see them. But that's going to close the show. I just want to tease that. Do you want me to tell the name of that band? Okay. The name of that band is Butterfly with Bullet Wings. Now, we'll get to them later. They're going to close the show. But coming on the stage right now is our first guest. She used to co-host this show. She's now just a contributor to the show, and she's a co-worker of mine. She's one of my best friends. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the extremely funny Miss Jen Tisdale, everybody. Thank you, Cuba Stank, everybody.
Do you remember the setup used to be I was right in front of Nathan's drums and everything he did was right in my face?
Yes. Speaking of right in your face, you and Nathan have a long history.
Oh, that sounded sexy.
Because I don't think you knew Nathan until you did this talk show.
That is true.
And you guys also became fast friends.
We did.
And you talk to Nathan just as much as I talk to Nathan now.
Yes.
And he messages you about his favorite numbers as well.
69, 420, 311, and 911.
Those are Nathan's favorite numbers, guys.
That's the combination to Nathan's life. So if you know him, just get his ATM card. And that, incidentally, he only has $69 in his account.
At all times.
So figure it out.
Now, Jen, out of anyone I know, is the most broken up about Nathan leaving.
I'm very, like, even though we only hang out on G-Chat and things will literally never change, the knowledge that I'll be G-Chatting you and you'll be in a different place is oddly heartbreaking.
Now,
like, if I wanted to come and see you, which I never do, now I really, really can't unless I get on a bus or a thing.
Now... the people in the room might be wondering, hey, is the host going to marry the guest? He's in a suit. She's in a wedding dress.
That's my plan.
Jen, could you please explain to the listener at home...
Hi, Nathan.
...what you're wearing?
I'm wearing a white dress that looks very much like some sort of 30s flapper. I'm still drinking, even though no one else is drinking. What's depression? Not on my watch. Boardwalk Empire kind of, you know, drinks.
Now, why are you wearing this dress?
Well, I'm hoping to keep Nathan here in the city because I know his green card's running out.
Yeah. Which, he's moving to New York.
Which is wisely. He's been excommunicated from the District of Columbia.
That's true. That's how
that
works.
He doesn't believe in the city enough. No, shh. So I think if I marry him up.
Would you, if Nathan said yes, would you marry him tonight?
Well, first of all, this is going to blow up in my face and not blow in my face when I say yes and he goes, that's insane. But that's fine. Nathan, I'd marry you.
Look
whatever.
At me. Look at me, Jen.
Oh my God, stop. What are we doing?
I'm already married.
I know you are.
I'm not trying
I'm
to marry.
I'm looking right at your ring and it's awful.
Why is it awful?
God, all the commitment. It's freaking me out. So much commitment. I couldn't even...
I didn't tell you to wear a wedding dress to the show.
Wait, I got this at Urban Outfitters. Blame them for selling wedding dresses to like young people and then 33-year-olds who still shop there.
Now, Jen, do you hate gay people like the owner of Urban Outfitters hates gay people?
Oh, God. Are there gay people in this room?
Perfect. Ooh. Okay, perfect.
Wait, have any of you sat on a toilet seat? Because I'll just avoid that toilet seat. Gross.
You thought that was going to land, didn't you?
I did think that was going to go somewhere. I
apologize.
I'm not apologizing for your lack of sense of humor.
Yeah, that's it. Now, if Nathan was willing to marry you tonight.
Oh, my God.
Just look at me. Keep looking at me.
I'm not going to look at you.
Just look at me.
I'm looking at your beverage because I have a drinking problem. Go ahead.
I have two, actually.
You have two drinking problems. Go ahead.
If Nathan was willing to say yes to marry you.
Okay, yes to that dress.
Stop making jokes. This is serious. This is the most serious question I've ever asked somebody.
Nathan, no, it's not.
And a man and or a woman and or someone trans, however they want to be preferred. Is that cool?
Whoever can print out something from the internet.
If Chelsea Manning was here and able to marry you.
If anyone from Orange is the New Black was here and could just marry
Would you marry Nathan? Right, like... That's it. Would you say yes? No. Look at me. Hypotheticals here.
Yeah.
You said yes.
Yeah.
Nathan,
yeah.
No, right? The answer is no. Okay, yeah, no. It's just no. He would never marry you. What's wrong? This is a horrible idea. See, he plays the fucking...
Oh, God.
It's not a judgment on you. He's never going to get married.
No. I wouldn't marry me. That's the problem.
You'll get married like if you fall in love, right, Nathan? Oh, no. See, no. You're fine.
Yeah,
you're fine.
I know. I'm totally fine.
Yeah. Now, you actually brought Nathan gifts.
I did. Not gifts, internet people. Remember what gifts are? They have a T on them, and you can touch them, and they don't repeat incessantly. So, here we go.
Stop doing GIF humor. No one likes it.
Choosy moms, Brandon.
Okay. I'm going to hold your microphone while you present Nathan with the gifts that you bought with your own money. To Nathan is number one. Let's do the card. Now we have a card. Now explain to the listener at home what's
so
on the card envelope.
Nathan and his infinite narcissism. Are we allowed to say your Facebook name, your real one? Because this, I mean, your fake.
Just the Facebook
real.
Name. Just the Facebook
Nathan's
name.
Facebook name is Nathan is number one, and which is obviously
his real name.
Which is his real name. And when Nathan was moving to New York, he jokingly said, "Do I have to change my Facebook status?" Name or my name, and I wrote, "You do. You have to change it to Nathan is number 911 for New York." You guys remember 911, right? Oh, is it still too soon? You guys are the worst.
They forgot it. Guys. Don't forget.
Don't forget it. Elephants never forget. So I got Nathan.
Wait, stop. Why did you say that?
Because
it didn't land. No, the first part didn't land. Why keep adding tags trying to make it work?
I don't know. Because I've always wanted to make this T-shirt with Dumbo flying towards the Twin Towers with the words "Elephants Never Forget" underneath of it. Would that not be the best?
That would be the best. Give it up.
Would you buy that shirt?
That's fucking funny.
I'd buy the fuck out of that
good.
Shirt.
Could somebody make that? Somebody in here's got to be a graphic designer. Could
if
somebody
you steal
make
this
that?
Idea, I will hunt you down.
Just give her a T-shirt. It's fine.
Okay. Nathan, I'm opening your card for you. Is that appropriate?
No, tell people what's on the envelope.
Okay. Well, I told them. Oh, and also Nick Hexum, who is the lead singer of Nathan's favorite band, 311.
Yeah, give it up for 311. That's 311. Nathan's favorite band, guys.
Very important. Now, another fun fact about Nathan is that he is a huge Dale Earnhardt fan.
Huge.
Huge Dale Earnhardt. R.I.P. So I got him this Cars card. Because I'd like to think that if you were alive today and not driving into walls and dying, that he would have driven a weird talking car. Within the car...
No, let Nathan open the car.
Nathan?
Don't explain.
Well, he's not on mic, so what's that going to do?
You could explain what you wrote in the car.
Well, I can't. I'd have to read it. So Brandon Weatherby wrote.
No. What? This is Nate. This is a private card for Nathan.
Well, you just told me to explain.
No. It's okay.
That's 311, and the two ones are the Twin Towers. Adam said, "Suck my dick." Very important information for later. Mine's super long. Like, it might be another marriage proposal that Nathan can turn down.
What's going on, Nathan? Why are you laughing? We're going to read.
Oh, I wrote, hope you have a leading the pack, no looking back, first at the finish line, happy. And I crossed out birthday and wrote 9/11, obviously, because we should, that's a holiday.
Read
we
what
should,
Ian
we
wrote,
We should be
please.
Celebrating it.
Ian's upset.
Ian wrote, someday when my life has passed me by, I'll lay around and wonder why you were always there for me. Four was the number four, naturally.
That's a lyric from Nathan's second favorite band, Sugar Ray.
Okay, so. And now
this is the gift.
This is the gift.
This is the gift we
now,
have for Nathan.
You might not remember what this is, but I told you this already. You can open it first, and then I'll give you guys the backstory. This could have been our wedding gift, but I guess not. I guess not.
Nathan, just consider marrying Jen Tisdale.
Shut up.
You're really embarrassed by
this. Yes, I am. Dale Earnhardt, number three. Now, I want you guys to know that I got this in King's Dominion when I went with my mother, and the joke of the day for me was, you know, they have a roller coaster dedicated to Dale Earnhardt, except
it's called the Intimidator.
Except you don't die on the turn. So, what's that about?
Nathan, really quick, will you actually use that mug? Because I could see you using that mug.
Look, it's so 3D. It's insane. You have to hand wash that mug. You know how annoying it is when somebody gets you a mug and they have to hand wash it? That's a great deal of care. Honey, that's from the King's Dominion. You know they can't. They have.
Do you call your husband honey a lot?
Oh, my God. Anyway, so that's...
So we lost the audience about 3 minutes into this.
That's fine.
But that's okay.
That's fine, because hopefully the podcast listeners, who we really care about, you guys are great, are still listening.
They love all the visual stuff we've been doing.
We've been explaining. Anyway, so I'm very sad, weirdly, and... Is this too much emotion?
You're going to actually wear this dress the rest of the night, aren't you?
What would I do? A weird... What am I, a Cher concert? Am I going to change in the fucking bathroom? Why would I change? I'm wearing it right now.
All right.
Okay. You guys, this is a nice dress, right?
It is a very nice dress for a married Mormon lady.
I sent it to someone. Mormons don't have tattoos. Come on. Anyway, so where else would I wear this? Like, when I bought this dress, I was just like, where the fuck am I going to wear this? And then this came up, and I was like, obviously here.
Before you leave the stage, do you have any parting words for Nathan?
Nathan.
Be real.
Oh, God. You want me to Cypress Hill this thing?
That should have got a laugh. That's funny.
You guys are assholes.
That's a good comment. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Don't get too insane in the membrane. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Jen Tisdale. Everybody, Jen, I'll take the mic. Play her off, Cuba Stank. What was that? That was an original Cuba Stank song. Coming to stage for a second, we like to call color commentary. Please put your hands together for not Jamel Johnson, Haywood Turnipseed Jamel Johnson Jr.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Hey, Nate, I'm sorry. That's sad, man. You're leaving. Yeah, I ain't never here anyway, so...
Yeah, fuck that guy. Okay, back to you.
He's leaving the show. He's never here any goddamn way, so, like, why does it matter he's leaving the show? Like, Ian's always here. Like, if Ian leaves, I'm gonna die. Like, you leaving, I'm like, hey, I remember the first time I was on the show, you were not here. No, I'm kidding. Big up, man. Godspeed. Do good things. Keep telling us what the NSA is doing.
That was actually a good comment. That was just good. We do a segment called Color Commentary. What is the segment about, Haywood?
Color Commentary. It is about the lack of color on this show.
That is correct. Do you find it odd and or scary that every time I have a houseman, there's just two white guys dressed all in black that are like about to start a Klan and or a rally?
That just reminds me of church, two white guys dressed in black. I'm just like, hey, either they're Johnny Cash fans.
Do you go to church?
Or Mormons.
Do you go to church?
Not anymore.
Why not?
I'm grown. What are you talking about?
Fuck! Fuck! Stop! Stop! Wait! Stop! Wait! 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 Stop! Tell me that's part of. Hey, it's a fantastic stand-up. Tell me that's one of your bits.
It is now.
Fuck yeah! That is the best. Oh my god!
It is.
Shit!
Now. I'm an adult. That's it.
You were able to do that and not seem like a dick like Ricky Gervais. Like that was so
well,
fucking.
He's British. Every time the British people say anything, it sounds dicky. Hi, I'm a prince and I just had a baby. You dick. Like I had a baby, put my kid's picture on Facebook. People were like, yay, fuck Prince Harry's kid or whatever his name is. William, see, I don't even know.
Anyways, that's exactly what this show is about.
That's
we
what
just
this show
mock
is
the
about.
British royalty.
We now, do by adding color commentary.
That's true, actually. Now, what do you want to talk about this week?
This week on color commentary, this week is ironic because this week is the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington.
Yes.
Are you familiar with the March on Washington?
No, I don't like movement.
Movement. Bowel movements even?
Wait, really quick, why is it ironic?
Well, I'm like, it's like we're talking color commentary. I'm like, actually, usually we talk about bullshit. We have something cool to talk about. Like, we are living the dream. You and I right
oh,
now
thank
are
you
living
so much. What dream
and
are
these
you
two black guys and white guys in black. We're living the dream right
now. What dream are you referring to?
Sam and Dean all over again.
So both of who's the Frank Sinatra? Who runs our lives in this
Ian
scenario?
Ian Graham is Frank
Ian
Sinatra.
Sinatra.
That's Dean Martin.
What am I?
I don't know.
Joey Bishop.
Yeah,
fuck
you're
you.
Joey Bishop.
Fuck off.
You're Steve Allen.
I'm fine with that.
And I'm the guy, the black guy who didn't get up, George.
Just George.
Yeah.
George, the black guy that didn't get
George. Did you ever see the movie with Ray Liotta on fucking HBO? Okay, so anyway, this is the 50-year anniversary of the March on Washington.
Yes.
And the March on Washington, which happened in 1963, August 28, 1963, was called the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. And now 20 years later, it's ironic because 20, whatever.
The 50th anniversary.
It might as well be 20 for me. I'm still
then
black.
Then it'd be the Steve
Trayvon Martin, goddammit. That's how. But that's my whole point. That's how far things have progressed. Like, justice is out the window, and everyone's looking for a job. So,
in a way, things are worse.
For everybody, though. Like, it's not just bad for black people, like, right now. Like,
wait, that's the dream?
It's bad for everyone. Like, no one wants to be on the bus anymore. No one. I don't care if you're black or white. If you're riding the city bus, you're like, fuck. My life has got me here. I feel like Drake started at the.
I started in a Sprite commercial. Before Drake's first album dropped, he was in a Sprite commercial.
I thought you were
going to
say you started on the grassy.
Yeah, no, but that's Canadian. That doesn't count.
It's British.
See, doesn't count.
See, you see how unfunny the March on Washington is. People that is really serious.
You asked me what we wanted to talk about tonight, and you pitched me two ideas.
Two ideas. Now, I thought the March on Washington was really good. It's nothing funny about it.
No, it's important.
But here's what's like that. Here's what I found ironic about that moment. Like there was a moment of time, and like it was a March on Washington. Like many people went. Like a quarter of a million people came down to D.C. at the mall. Many of the black people just stayed. They never left. They moved in the Southeast apparently, and then.
Wait, let's make this funnier. Heywood, where do you live?
Southeast.
Okay,
DC. It's true. It's funny because it's true. Like Frederick Douglass bought a plot of land there, and all the black people were like, we're going to stay. We love it so much. This is awesome. Like, you mean we got to walk back? Fuck that. But it's like, okay, so like 50 years later, right, at that moment, keynote speakers are Martin Luther King. We all know the I Have a Dream speech. That is like an ironic part of American history. That is Americana, the I Have a Dream speech, right?
Stop saying, you mean iconic.
I said it's Americana.
No, you said it's an ironic piece.
It's ironic that he had a dream about America because most of the black folks were living a nightmare at that time. Thank you for trying to point the English language out to me, nigga. It's English language. If I speak it wrong, so fucking what?
You know that Metallica song, So What?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the first time anyone's referenced Metallica when talking about the March on Washington.
No, it's not.
What?
No, it's not. Like,
prove me wrong.
Okay, dig this, right? Do you know, like, Bob Dylan performed at the March on Washington?
I did not.
People don't even talk about that. They talk about like how Martin Luther King gave a speech, and that's about it. But Bob Dylan was the musical act at the March on Washington. Do you know who's the musical act this time around at the March on Washington?
Jacob Dylan.
Brandy.
What? She killed a man.
Exactly.
She murdered a man with a car.
This is how far we've come.
She murdered a man with her car.
Scientology. Don't tell nobody.
Oh, my God. Are you
and got off. And Ray J is the reason why we know Kim Kardashian. How about that shit?
That's nice.
This is how far we've come. Like, this is like okay, so the idea of the March on Washington and the I Have a Dream speech and all of that time was for, like, progression, right? And this is how far, like, people of color have progressed. We are as foolish as you guys were at that time. Like, literally, like, have you seen Basketball Wives? That could not be the dream.
I don't think... Wait, what? That's a stretch,
man. I said it cannot be the dream. Like, it's a bunch of black women on TV yelling and fussing and arguing. I mean, could you imagine if they had a reality show for Civil Rights Housewives?
Like, there's just be a lot of women scared that their husbands are going to get murdered.
Well, Rosa would always be trying to sit down in everybody's seat. Hey, you in my seat. You in my seat. I know, Rosa. I know.
I'm going to ask you a
question. I heard the murder part. That was funny. We got to work
that
out.
Thank you.
That was actually very funny.
Could I whisper something to you and you could tell me if I could say it because it's racist or not?
Well, what could be more racist than calling me Jamel 2 weeks ago?
Oh, that's nothing compared to this.
What's that? Go ahead.
No, stop. No. Yeah, that was it. Is that too racist or too pro?
That is actually, they want to know now.
That's okay. I
met Rosa Parks once.
I know.
Real story. And I've said this before on this show.
It's a good story.
She actually came to my grandmother's church. My grandparents are heavy into the civil rights movement. This is why I know so much about it. Like, they were the kind of Negroes that did not go to the March on Washington. They were like, fuck that. We ain't walking nowhere.
Haywood's from Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana, where I met Rosa Parks, mother of the civil rights movement. She came to my grandparents' church, and I was sitting front row at my grandparents' church, and she came to where I was sitting, tapped me on my shoulder, and said to me, excuse me, you were in my seat.
And what did you say?
I said, Miss Parks, you need to hush that fuss.
And take
that to the back of the church.
That just okay. This is why I'm glad Nathan is leaving. Stop laughing. Do the rim shot. You're the fucking drummer. That's the point. That was a funny joke.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Do you even know what he's referencing?
No.
His eyes got all big.
We lost him. We lost him at Bob Dylan. Every room.
Are you gonna go to the anniversary march?
Well, I have to.
Why?
I'm black. I live in Southeast. It's like everybody who lives in Southeast, they're like, it's like, I literally live on Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue. Like, if I don't go, my mother will call me and be like, nigga, what's wrong? No, she will. And she will say those words exactly like, nigga, what's wrong? You live on Martin Luther King Jr. Oh, mama, they're not coming down my street. So what, nigga? You got a Metro card. And this is how my mother talks. I love my mother to death, but she actually uses the N-word a lot more than she should. Well, a lot more than white people would like to hear it. I don't care personally. But okay, so at the March on Washington back 50 years ago, right? This is the new millennium. 50 years ago, they had priests, they had rabbis, they had Mahalia Jackson, they had Martin Luther King. This year, they have Al Sharpton and Tom Joyner. Exactly.
Okay, stop.
Exactly.
Stop.
I mean, I too like to party with a purpose. But nobody know who, like, do you even know who Tom Joyner is, sir?
Tom Joyner has one of the, do you ever hear Tom Joyner's stories about frequent flyer miles?
Yes, I have.
It's fucking, Tom Joyner is one of the most successful morning DJs of all time.
Yep.
Tom Joyner did a morning show in Chicago. And an afternoon show in, like, Dallas.
Yep.
And would fly every single day on American, and they retired his seat.
Yep.
He would fly every day because they just didn't have, like, land connections or something. It's nuts.
This is before the internet.
Yeah, this is crazy. And Tom Joyner is still on the air.
Yeah.
He's incredibly successful, and he's syndicated as much as, like, Alex Jones. Do you know who that is?
Howard Stern.
Do you know how?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Alex Jones is the shit, man. Alex Jones.
You sure you want to say that again?
Well, Alex Jones is the shit.
Yeah, you sure?
Why? Oh, they
don't. Is he?
They're already. Okay. Real talk, okay, March on Washington, right? Everybody talks about March on Washington. Everybody talks about, like, like conspiracies around the March on Washington, and how Hoover had an FBI file on everybody who performed at the March on Washington. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Everybody in this room with a Social Security number has an FBI file.
So?
That's thank you, March on Washington.
I am so confused at the point of that antidote.
Well, you asked me about
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones, and you said, do I want to say it again about him being the shit?
You like Alex Jones.
Alex Jones is not a conspiracy theorist. He's a conspiracy confirmist.
You sound just high right now, like incredibly high.
That's the beauty of being a black man in America. Y'all don't believe me, no way.
Oh, shit.
It's funny because it's true.
Okay.
It's funny. Django.
You can't just say that.
Slavery.
You can't just come on the show every fucking week and say Django.
Slavery never mattered until Quentin Tarantino made Django. Before that, it was like, oh, yeah, that's an etching. Look at what's his name? Rick Perry trying to etch that shit out of history. He's like, that shit never happened. And yet again, I go to Niggerhead for lunch.
Well, thank you guys for coming to the Alex Jones support cast. I appreciate it. I think it got the opposite of real when you mentioned Alex Jones.
You don't like Alex Jones?
No.
You don't?
No.
You should listen.
It's funny. It's hilarious.
Do you listen to Rush Limbaugh?
No, I don't.
Then you should. Oh, wow, dude.
Wait, why would I listen to Rush Limbaugh?
He's the opposite. He's like, okay. Sports, right?
Yes.
Imagine you got to listen to the other team's game preparation.
But he's not.
That's the Rush Limbaugh.
No, stop. Like, he's not.
Shit, that's what they think?
No, he's the other team's fans that are playing fantasy football. He means
nothing.
No,
he's not. No, believe that if you want to. He is the voice of those motherfuckers. Like, they'd be like, listen, say this shit. Say this shit. Meanwhile, do Oxycontin. Do Oxycontin. Do Oxycontin. You think that shit? You think he would say that shit if the fucking Bushes didn't sanction that shit? That he say the shit that average Republicans do not fucking say, because why? They don't want to get Rush Limbaugh'd.
Somebody said that's true, right? Stop.
And that was a white girl. Thank you. And that's my whole point with the March on Washington.
That's the whole point. Listen to Rush Limbaugh.
Well, see, this is the thing. Color commentary. We have to bring it around full circle.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, man, it's a fucking gimmick. Nothing changed, guys. I live in the District of Columbia. Guess what? I don't have the right to fucking vote. I have the right to vote, and they say I vote for a president, but guess what? Anytime I commit a crime, guess who I have to fight? The United States of America. Some people fight PG County. Some people fight Alexandria County. Some people might just fight the state of Minnesota. I would have to fight the United States of America. You know who else who did that?
Who?
Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali.
So in a way, you are no different than Cassius Clay.
I'm very different. And by very different, the difference is I know what's going on. I listen to Alex Jones. I listen to Rush Limbaugh. And at the same time, I don't give a fuck.
Is Eminem going to be at the rally?
Probably.
He doesn't give a fuck either.
Nah, Eminem is cool, man. He's writing rhymes to battle Kendrick Lamar.
That was a big story, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're having the best week ever. Kendrick Lamar. And you know
Kendrick Lamar was smart, okay, man. That's a smart
move. He brought it up earlier. Fucking 2013, 50 years later, March on Washington, why can't Batman be black?
Thank you.
He's literally called the Dark Knight. And yet Ben Affleck can be fucking Batman. Idris Elba, Wesley Snipes is looking for work. He was blind, goddammit.
Stop. Stop, wait, here, homie, hear me out.
It's true.
Stop for 1 second.
I would love a Dark Knight, for real.
Stop. No, you
aside
wouldn't.
From Django and the Butler. That's black superheroes, the Butler. Get the fuck out of my face. God.
Batman is a Batman's a bad hero. You don't actually want to.
Yes, I would love a black Batman. Cause that would mean that a
you
black
want
Superman.
No, that's fine. I'll give you that.
Why not a black Batman? That would mean that it wouldn't matter
Batman's
what his color was.
Insane
well,
and
he
rich.
Was black.
Batman's the worst hero. He's insane and rich. That's all. He's just nuts.
So what you saying? Michael Jordan couldn't play Batman?
He's better than Batman. He doesn't need
not
to hide
really.
Behind a weird fucking costume.
Not really.
Michael Jackson could play Batman.
Batman, zombie Batman at this point. Because he's dead.
No, there should be a black Doctor Who.
Oh, there should have been. Oh, man, you know what?
There
should be
there
should be a black person in Harry Potter of note. They have a character in Harry Potter named fucking Sirius Black, yet there is no Sirius Black character in fucking Harry Potter.
Not going to top that. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Heywood Jamel Johnson, Turnip Seed Jr., everybody. Kubastank, was that a very slow rendition of Lose Yourself by Eminem? That was perfect. They're a great house band. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage is a very funny woman. She's done the show before. Since then, she's moved to the wonderful state of Brooklyn, and she's a very, very funny woman, and I'm very glad that she's here. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the extremely funny Miss Natalie Scherr, everybody. Natalie, come to the stage.
Guys, it's good to be here in DC again. Been here for a few hours. I was having a really good time until I stopped at CVS on my way here. And I saw something that I found kind of upsetting. I saw this mom get into a huge fight with her kid over some candy that he wanted. He was begging for it, and she kept saying no. And all of a sudden, I think something inside of this woman snapped because she started screaming at him in the top of her lungs in front of everybody, and a crowd gathered, and all of a sudden she just ripped the candy out of his hands, threw it on the shelf, and dragged him out of the store without buying anything. And I have to say, I was completely appalled because I would never be that kind of mother. You know, long before I would ever let things escalate to that point, I'd have an abortion. Brandon's right. I did used to live here in D.C., and now I live in New York. I moved up there to go to graduate school to study socialist history. Never an applause break, a very small applause break from behind me. But I was reading earlier today, and I think Che Guevara is someone who is very sexually insecure. Because if you read everything that guy wrote about guerrilla warfare and really boil that message down, it sounds like this. Oh, everyone says they want a big, thick army, but if used properly, a small army can be just as good. And actually, a lot of people would argue that a small army works better inside of places like Cuba. When I moved to New York, since I'm so into history, one of the first things I did was I went upstate to visit the home that Franklin Delano Roosevelt grew up in. And what a lot of people don't realize about FDR is that from the waist down, his life was identical to the plot of Weekend at Bernie's. Yeah. You guys like presidents, huh? More presidents have spent their term in office in this city than any other city. I totally can't understand what you're saying right now. I'm sorry. But FDR, yeah, he's a good one. Another key president is William Howard Taft. People generally know one thing about him. Do you know what that is? He was a really big guy, right? He was the fattest president. And they actually had to build a new bathtub inside of the White House so that he would have enough room to swim in all the pussy he was getting. I spent the beginning of this summer doing some research in Eastern Europe, and I was in Poland, and while I was there, I decided to go to Auschwitz, which I understand isn't necessarily a dream vacation spot, but I was really interested to go, because I really am passionate about history and vintage shoes. But while I was there, I saw a guy taking what I felt to be an inappropriate number of photos inside of the gas chamber. And I couldn't figure out why. But then I thought about it, and I concluded that this must just be a regular guy taking a bunch of vacation photos to make an ex jealous, right? Like, hey, Janet, I'm doing fine. I'm on vacation. Do you see where I had to go to put my heartbreak in perspective? Just doing the tourist stuff during the day. I'm going to end up at the hotel this evening, get some room service, and watch time-lapse videos of cancer cells metastasizing. Not ideal. Bring it a little lighter. Do you guys like comic books? Any comic books? A few? I haven't read too many comic books, but my dad had a stack of old ones in the house where I grew up from the 60s. And I always really liked the Fantastic Four because there was a girl in it. But in hindsight, kind of sucks because everyone else in that comic book had amazing powers. They got to fly and shoot fireballs, contort their bodies into any position and lift things of any weight. She was the Invisible Woman, right? Like, her sole superpower was to make someone in a room with her not know that she exists. I spent all of junior high doing that. And like, I don't know about you guys, but if I had the power of invisibility, I would not use it for good. I wouldn't use it to spy on my enemies. I would use it to eavesdrop on my friends who were gossiping about me. I mean, friends, enemies, whoever happened to say something, I'd want to know all of it. And maybe I would confront the enemy about it. And I'd go up to him and be like, hey, Dr. Doom, I heard you think I'm high maintenance. Well, you are about to get your ass kicked by my guy friends. I'm going to do something super girly and vanish while patiently waiting for my eggs to be fertilized. That is my plan. Although women in literature have never had it easy. Right? Have you read the Bible? I haven't actually read it. I mean, I've read summaries of portions, but I have to say that if I were a woman alive during the Old Testament or the New Testament, and I saw Jesus Christ walk on water, I think I'd look at him and say, man, if he cut his hair, I would fuck that magician. But women have had some gains, right? Like, I'm sure you guys are feminists, right? And I'm sure that you are... Thank you. I'm sure you guys were just as excited as I was that women can fight in combat now, right? That's exciting. That's a big deal. I think it's a long time coming. And frankly, I think we can do anything on the battlefield that men can.
Yeah.
We're not quite as good at raping enemy civilians. No, it's not like we wouldn't try. We would totally try. Like, I would go up to one and be like, this is happening. I don't care if you consent. And he'd be like, I totally do. This is awesome. And I'd be like, you're ruining this for me. I'm trying to make a feminist point. It's like, I guess women will just have to follow the Geneva Conventions like a bunch of faggots. Gonna have to do it. As long as we're speaking about military history, literally everyone in the room is, I've always found it a little weird that the number one condom brand in America is called Trojan, right? Because when I think of the word Trojan, I think of the Trojan horse, which was this immense hollow horse that an invading army hid inside of to gain access into the city of Troy and then utterly decimate it. Like, that's a very bad analogy for condoms. Like, Trojan, trick your way inside of her and then raise and plunder her insides. Like, I would be so much more comfortable with condoms named after a military disaster. You know? Like Vietnam condoms. Get in there, do your thing, and after you pull out, have absolutely nothing to show for it. That's what I want in a comedy. It sounds perfect. Right. Do you guys like impressions?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. I've got an impression or two for you. LOL, pics or it didn't happen. It's the defense attorney at a rape trial. All right, thank you guys so much. I'm Natalie.
Natalie, sure, everybody. Natalie, sit down. Bring the mic. Bring the mic. Bring the mic. Bring the mic. Natalie, you're funny.
Thank you.
Good job. How are things?
Things are really good. I moved from D.C. to Brooklyn just about exactly a year ago.
How's Brooklyn?
It's really good. I love it. I'm in North Brooklyn. Commute by bike,
what,
like everyone else does. Greenpoint.
That's pretty close to Nathan, right? Nathan's moving into Williamsburg.
Yeah? Okay. We're your neighbors.
Give it up for the Ooh. Cast of Girls, everybody.
Yeah, there are always signs around my apartment in the nearby area that they're filming girls and that you can't park
or do anything.
Oh, you're
serious?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I think the guy who plays, I forget. The guy who works at the coffee shop who's dating Shoshana.
I've never seen the show.
He lives on my block or is fucking someone on my block.
Congratulations. Right? Give it up for that guy, everybody.
Ray.
Ray. Ray. Give it up for Ray, everybody.
Yeah.
Natalie, how much is your life like the life of the cast of Girls? One to Girls, how much Girls is your girl life? Girls.
The thing I appreciate most of that show is that I feel like when I'm naked, I look a lot more like Lena Dunham than anyone else I've ever seen on screen, and that's really refreshing.
Congratulations. Give it up for naked women.
Yes.
No one clapped.
So I appreciate
this is a weird
part.
Crowd. They clap at weird stuff. It's fun, right?
Yeah. But other than that, I feel like they're very young.
How old are you?
I mean, I'm almost 27. I'm not.
Oh, you're very young.
I mean, I'm young in years, but they're also very immature in a way that
immature or mature. They're immature or mature.
They're immature.
I agree completely.
I've
not seen the show. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, they're being. I guess not anymore, but at first, anyway, the main character was being bankrolled by her parents, and
that's sweet. Give it up for parents, everybody. Parents,
They're the. I feel like I had my shit together a little more. I'm not saying completely, but I never
definitely compared to every other stand-up that does this show. You probably have your shit together the most.
Oh, I meant compared to the fictional characters on Girls. I don't mean to compare myself to my actual friends.
Let's compare yourself to your actual friends.
Okay.
No, that's mean. You're a very funny woman, and you do you do show regularly in New York? Does she do a show regularly?
Yeah, I do.
She does a show
monthly.
Regularly in New York.
At the Creek.
No, it's at the Palace Cafe in Greenpoint, and it's the fourth Wednesday. Actually, I run it with Lauren Vino, who's
Lauren Vino, an old Chicago friend of mine, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Lauren's great. You should follow Lauren on Twitter. I said Twitter in a weird way. I follow Lauren on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You're very funny. People should follow you on Twitter.
Thank you. It's at Natalie Shirley, S-U-R-E-L-Y. I had
but
to
her
change
actual
it for my
last
real name.
Name is Sure, S-H. U-R-E.
Yes. Yeah, I had to change my Twitter handle because I got called out by someone I interviewed.
Who called you out?
I interviewed...
you realize this is going to be under your name. We don't want to get you in trouble.
No, I mean, it was...
Okay, good.
He had a total good point. I was doing a lot of medical research for my thesis, and I interviewed this guy who developed a series of diagnostic laboratory tests. And
Give
he Googled me before the interview. And at the end of the interview, he, you know, let me know. He said, I wasn't even going to bring this up, but I Googled you and your Twitter came up first. And I wasn't sure I even wanted to do the interview, which then I looked at my top three tweets and like, I see his point.
What were your tweets? Do you remember?
You know, I think they were just particularly dirty and, you know.
Do you really want to interview anybody that can't see past jokes?
Well, no, I mean, right now I have those two personas are pretty separate. I'd like to fuse them into one at some point. That's sort of my professional goal.
Good luck.
Thank you.
That seems incredibly difficult.
I think we'll see.
Fair enough.
I'll let you know.
Follow her on Twitter. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for
Thank
the very
guys.
Funny Miss Natalie Schur, everybody. Play her off, gentlemen. That's the atmospheric sounds you've come to love and respect from the You, Me, Them, Everybody house band. This is a little treat for Nathan. I don't want to tell you this, but we actually brought Nathan's absolute favorite Chicago comedian all the way. We flew him out. Nathan and I are both from Chicago. We eat hot dogs every meal. It's great. It's great. Natalie, are you from Chicago? Are you from Chicago? Where are you from? We've had this conversation, haven't we?
Yeah.
I got to cut this part out. Hold on. Natalie's also from Chicago. It's a whole Chicago-themed show, all for Nathan. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. One of my favorite Chicago comics, too. We're pretty much similar. He's my second favorite. He's your number one favorite. You're going to love this. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the absolutely favors. Ray Jankowski, Nathan's favorite comic from Chicago. Ray, the stage is yours.
Sorry, I'm just taking a little bit of whiskey. Makes the day easier when you're from Chicago. Yeah, so I guess you can say I'm from Chicago. You don't know my life. My life is hard. Life is hard when you're from Chicago. I'm watching TV the other day, watching WGN. Mayor Rahm Emanuel is on the TV. My wife comes in, Martha. She says, "Hey, Ray, why don't you ever listen?" And so I say, "I'm from Chicago. What can I do about that? I'm from Chicago, okay? Go over to Lake Michigan, okay? It's what you do in Chicago. You're from Chicago." Hit a game of the Sox or the Cubs. Jim Belushi. Chicago Belushi. I'm from Chicago. Approximately 46.2 million domestic and international visitors in the year 2012. Chicago. Hey, where are we? Northeast Illinois? It's Chicago. Get used to it. Kind of hungry. Want to go out for a hot dog? Put some tomatoes in the hot dog. Put a pickle in the hot dog. It's Chicago. That's where I'm from. I'm from Chicago. You got Mexicans. You got the Polish. You got the black people. You got the LGBT community. Chicago. Chicago. We got all of those. Kanye West featuring Coldplay, "I'm Coming Home Again, Chicago." Fireworks, Lake Michigan. Coldplay, Chicago. Where am I from? I guess you could say I'm from Chicago. You know, the Windy City, the Second City, the hot dog factory of the world, Chicago. Illinois, Chicago. Hey, you want to go see Linkin Park? The park, not the band. Chicago, all right? All right? Am I right? Fly into O'Hare, drive to Midway, get out of town, leave Chicago. Two major airports, United Airways, United Center, Chicago Bulls. Chicago, right? Am I right? That one's for you, Nathan. High fidelity. What's the top five? Chicago, 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 Chicago. Get in a car. Maybe drive over to the LSD. Hey, it's not drugs. It's Lakeshore Drive. Take a right. Go to Harpo Studios. Catch an Oprah Winfrey show. You get a car. You get a car. Get in your Oprah Winfrey car. Drive over to the Soldier Field. Support the troops. Chicago Bears LGBT community. Chicago. Take a duck tour. Yoko, you only Chicago once. Go to a Bulls game. Check out the rebounds. Check out the assists. The famous Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls. Check out the lady basketball team, the Chicago Lady Bull Dyke Lesbo Dum Dums. Hey, I didn't name them. I'm from Chicago. What do you think? I was at WrestleMania 22, Chicago. I was at the 1954 Pan American Games. I was at the 2006 Gay Games. It happened in Chicago. Population 3.6 million, 1960. Population 2.7 million, 2012. Where'd they go? Where'd they go? I'm liking the square footage, though, right? In Chicago. Go to a parade. Go to the Ferris Bueller Parade. Do a dance. Fuck up Cameron's dad's car. It's Chicago. What's the best band from Chicago? The band Chicago, of course. So you don't know my life, Martha. That's why I don't listen to you, okay? That's my fucking answer for you, you fucking dumb bitch. Thank you. My name's Ray Janikowski. I'm from Chicago. What, are we going to talk to each other, or am I going to leave the stage? All right.
We'll talk. All right. Give it up for Ray, everybody. Ray, you're very funny. It's obvious why you're Nathan's favorite stand-up.
You know, you go over, you watch stand-up from other cities. Oh, it's so sad. Ben Affleck is the new Spider-Man. Oh, yeah, wah, wah, wah. Chicago comics, we're barstool philosophers, okay? We're barstool philosophers. We tell it how it is. We drink the whiskey. It's Chicago, you know? What are you going to do? It's cold as shit most of the year. Lake Michigan. Fireworks Lake Michigan. Coldplay featuring Kanye West. I'm coming home again. Chicago. Jim Belushi.
Now, Ray, how long have you been pursuing stand-up?
I've been doing stand-up for about 47 years.
47 years? That's incredible. Have you ever traveled outside of Chicago?
No, this is my first outside of Chicago gig. I do a lot of generally locally based material. I'm happy that it conformed with your tastes here in uppity Washington, D.C. Put a fucking pickle in your hot dog, okay? Get over yourself, okay? Have a pizza. Have a pizza pie deep dish at least 3 inches deep. Okay, dive into the pizza pie. Get it from Lou Malnati's. Forget about it, Chicago. Not forget about it, Brooklyn. We invented forget about it. So Lake Michigan, okay? One day it was windy coming from Lake Michigan. The political scene also very windy. Mayor Rahm Emanuel, Mayor Daley. Did he kill John F. Kennedy? I don't know. I'm from Chicago. What do I know? Huh?
Now, Ray.
Did I do the high fidelity joke? I
thought
that was a very good joke.
That was a good joke.
Top five city of Chicago. Top five Chicago. Top five Chicago. Chicago, Chicago, Chicago.
Now, Ray, Anyone in Chicago has a team. Are you a Cubs fan? Or are you a Sox fan?
You know what? I don't judge based upon what team you like. It doesn't matter. Though we're doing too many murders out on these streets. Okay? We're doing too many murders out on these streets, and I just want the peace to happen in Chicago. So if you're a Cubs fan, if you're a Sox fan, it doesn't matter. You could hug each other because it's Chicago.
That's true. It is. I've been saying that since I was born in Chicago.
But I happen to like a hybrid team of the Cubs and the Sox.
Really?
Yes.
It's very rare.
The Cub shoes. You wear a black sock with a Cub shoe. Everyone gets along. No more killing in the streets. Get out of town in Chicago. Fly out of Midway Airport. Get out of town if you're going to murder. If you don't want to murder, fly in O'Hare Airport.
Those are ones on the north side, ones on the south side. It's really interesting that you know about these things, too. Now, apparently I'm getting handed a ticket. This is a ticket for a game from the Chicago White Sox versus the Kansas City Royals from June 28th, 2013.
You know they gave out blankets so you could take a nap at that, right? 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 The Kansas City Royals, who the fuck is that? What is that? Kansas, what is that even? I don't even know what that means. Is that a team? They got a team that's not from Chicago. All I know is Chicago.
Okay, now Ray.
I thought every day it's Cubs versus Sox and then no other teams all of America. What are you talking about?
Now, Ray, one of the greatest things about you is that you've been pursuing the art of stand-up for 47 years. And,
yes. And I guess you could say I am a rookie, right?
right. Why did you ever try improv, maybe at I.O., which used to be Improv Olympic, or Second City? Did you ever try to...
I did an improv workshop, Second City, because it's Chicago. You do a workshop, you give them $7,000. They teach you how to say yes, okay? My wife wanted me to say yes a little bit more. I pay $7,000. Some creepy guy tells me that I have to say yes to every idea. You want to do it, improv? Real quick.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Welcome to the pizza parlor. What kind of pizza you want?
Hey, it's St. Patrick's Day. Dye the Chicago River green. Right, right.
What kind of pizza you want? Improv, everybody. Give it up for improv. Now.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel like I grew. I feel like I said yes.
Now,
that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Say yes to the dress. Say yes to Chicago. That's what I'm saying.
That's the Chicago's...
Do you know there are only 6 dresses in the entire Chicagoland area? Did you know this?
I didn't, actually.
There's 6.
I haven't lived in Chicago for a few years now.
There's 6 dresses everyone else wears. Everyone else in Chicago wears all Chicago Bears clothes.
Speaking of the Bears, you excited for this season?
Oh, I'm pumped for this season. You know what we're going to do this season? Take it straight to the Super Bowl. Number one. That's what I'm talking about. It's going to be the Super Bowl Shuffle. Icky William the Refrigerator Perry. Forget about it. Fly out of Midway.
Well, Ray, I think it was worth spending every cent that we spent to fly you out from Midway.
And I appreciate the first class ticket. Listen, Nathan is my favorite guy from Chicago. I was hoping he'd come back. Now he's going to Williamsburg.
Yep.
You know, I don't know too much about colonial times, but I hope he learns. I hope he learns. That's why I hope he learns. I hope you churn some butter with fucking Martha Washington, all right? Or maybe the wife of Mayor Richard Daley. Chicago.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for one of the best barstool philosophers you'll ever find in the great city of Chicago, Mr.
Thank
Ray.
Thank you. Drive your car.
Jankowski, everybody, play him off. Cuba Stang. This gentleman, his name is Sean. Now, Sean is a great friend of mine. He's a great friend of Nathan.
Is that really all I got? Whatever.
Wait, we're not done. And see, look at this. We're moving the band to the center of the stage because they're going to play a set that's going to both change your life and make you want to leave, and that's why we're passing the basket now. You playing? All right, you're good. This is... I'm honored to say that I'm a part of this performance. This is the first and sadly last performance, at least for the time being, of Butterfly with Bullet Wings. Now, Butterfly with Bullet Wings meant a lot to me. I saw your first show here, and it was a little bit different setup. Yes, Sean was still the singer, but Nathan was not on drums. That performance, Nathan played wind chimes, and just the sounds that they emitted from their very small setup, just that changed my life. Now, we brought that show to Philadelphia, and lots of different people said to me after the show, like, how could I get these guys to play my show? Do they have a 7-inch? Are they single? And sadly, the answer is no. They're not single. Sorry, fellas and or ladies. They don't have a 7-inch. And they're not available to play any other shows. So I've been trying to convince them to play since December of 2012. And it took a long time. And I'm just incredibly grateful that they're here tonight. This band is the reason why we do this show. This band is actually the reason why I left Huffington Post. I used to work at Huffington Post. And then I saw this band. And I was like, I'm fucking wasting my life. Okay, guys? A lot of people like fish. I'm not a fish guy, you know? I'm not a fish guy. I don't care about that. A lot of people like Smash Mouth. They tour around the country seeing Smash Mouth. That's not for me, guys. That's just not who I am. Me? I'm a butterfly with bullet wings kind of guy. You know, that's who I am. I can't believe I'm going to be able to... Ian, one of the best guitar players in Washington, D.C., one of the best bands in Washington, D.C., Lenorable, has joined, no offense, an even better band tonight. I'm just so... I can't be happier. Like, I've been to so many important shows, you know? I've seen so many amazing things in my life. But like this is what it's about, guys. This is why we wake up. This is what makes things whole. I'm going to get off the stage and stop gushing over this very important band in my life. I don't know how long they're going to play. It might be a very short set. It might be a very long set. I've seen sets as short as 3 minutes. I've seen sets as long as 3 hours. You never know what you're going to get from these guys. And that's one of the things that makes it so exciting. So this is my good night, because these guys are going to take over and just... they're going to own this stage. And I know I can't compete with this greatness. So ladies and gentlemen, for the last time... the crown jewel of not only Washington, but the world. Put your hands together for Butterfly with Bullet Wings.
We just flew in from Atlanta, boy, I'm tired.
It's not over yet. No, it's over.
I just want to say this is our last show. I'll miss you, Nathan. We had a good run. We had a really good run. We had 69 7-inches out. We sold about 420 of them only on 9/11. And I heard somebody from 311 bought one. Yeah, oh, thanks. We, yeah.
Give it up for the last time for Butterfly with Bullet Wings. Now, this is one of the last shows that we're ever going to do because nothing could ever top that. So, once you like make the best art, why would you make anything else? It's kind of silly, you know? It's like, that's not really art anymore. And I'm in this for the art, and Nathan knows that, and Sean knows that, and Ian knows. This is about art, guys. No, will you take that? Nathan's actually never been on microphone on this edition of the show. Will you take the microphone for the first time? Please. Now, Nathan is a great contributor to the show.
It's all sticky.
It is sticky, because that's what you're... Please don't. I took this to the dry cleaners. Now I got to send it back. Okay. We usually end every interview with a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex. And we didn't do any of those tonight because I was saving this one for you. Nathan's never answered this. He's heard probably 50 times me ask questions to people. Now, Nathan, I need you to pick a number between 68 and 69 from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD, a truly awful book. Nathan, would you like 68 or 69?
69.
69 it is. Question 69. Feel free to lie. How many times in your life have you felt more in love than ever before? How many times have you been with someone you felt you would be with forever? Two-part question. Nathan, part one.
Two-part, same answer.
Fair enough. How many times in your life have you felt more in love than ever before?
What's the Smashing Pumpkins song? Zero.
Zero. Oh, that's sad. Now, Nathan.
We were just playing.
How many times have you been in love with someone you felt you would be with forever?
Zero.
Zero. That's really sad. That's why you haven't been on mic in 2 years. I'm going to miss you. But friends come and go. I don't give a shit about our friendship at all. But what I just saw... I am going to miss. I'm going to miss that band. And I'm going to miss you being here.